All right. Good evening. Good to see everybody here this evening. Donnie, it's good to see you back.
Yeah.
After a couple of weeks of being out, it was good to see you guys pull in. We stand out there talking to Roger, and Johnny come pulling in on two wheels. So I said, he ain't changed a bit. There he is. Anyway, it's good to see you tonight. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we're learning, doing a careful study of the Lord's Prayer. And I said last week, if I had thought ahead of time, and it didn't come to me fast enough, but I would have titled this whole study, Learning to Pray the Jesus Way. Because that's what we're trying to do, trying to learn to pray the way Jesus tells us to learn to pray, or to pray. And tonight, we looked at last week, the very beginning of the prayer, where this is really just how you start out, because we've got an outline here. How you start, what's in the middle, where you're doing your request, and then at the very end, how you close. And last week, we looked at the beginning, where we say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And tonight, we get to the top priority. I call it the top priority of our prayer life, or the top priority of our prayers. And the reason I call it the top priority is because it's number one on the prayer list. The very first thing that Jesus tells us to pray for. So I want to look at tonight what's at the top of our prayer list. I want to see tonight what's the first request. You could even say the most important request, because I'm going to ask you in just a second, what's the very first thing you pray for? And usually the very first thing you pray for is the most important thing you pray for, the thing that you never forget, that's always at the top of your mind, the very first thing as you start praying. So we get to see that tonight. I want to show you the top priority in our prayers. So let's read it. I'm going to read the entire prayer as I've done every week. Just starting in verse 9, we'll read down to verse 13. It says, after this manner, and I said that last week, the manner after this outline, in this way, pray. So we're not doing it word by word. We've got an outline to follow. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray together and we'll look at the top priority of our prayers. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. We've been saying the same prayer every single Wednesday, really as we start and as we end. We say, Lord, teach us to pray. That's my heart. I want to be better at praying, and that's where I started. God, I need to pray more. I need to pray better. I need to pray in the right way. So I spent time just pouring myself into these verses, wanting to get it right. So God, I pray that as you teach, as you've been teaching me, that you'll enable me to teach others what may be the most important thing we do. Charles Spurgeon was asked, what's more important, praying or reading the Bible? His answer was, what's more important, breathing in or breathing out? Those are the two most important things we do, studying the Bible and praying. So God, tonight, please, teach us how to pray. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get personal, and I'm going to ask a very personal question as we start out. With a smaller crowd like this, I could easily go around the room and I could really embarrass you guys. I could make you sit there. I'd really embarrass probably my sister above anything else. But I could look at her and I could ask anybody in this room, as you go to pray in the mornings or in the evenings, whenever it is that you spend time in prayer, what is the first thing on your prayer list? What's the very first thing out of your mouth when you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, and the first thing out of your mouth, what do you pray for? Usually, it's not just the first thing out of your mouth, it's the very first thing in your heart. It's the thing you care about the most, it's the thing you want the most, it's the thing that you never stop thinking about. I know that in my own life. Usually, it has something to do with me. Usually, it's a self-centered prayer. We tend to be very selfish in our prayers. Prayers about what I can get. It's usually at the very top. I mean, usually as I work my way down, this is just me because I'm learning how to pray myself. It's just me. Usually at the very start of it, it's all about me. So I'm praying for me. I'm praying for myself. I'm praying for I. That's the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. So I'm praying about me and my stuff. I'm praying about my health if I've got something wrong with me. I'm praying about my job here at the church. I'm praying about my day, what I got going on, my concerns. And then I'll start moving out. And I start moving out in the things that concern me. And I'll move out to my family, my wife and my kids. And then I'll go to my friends. And I pray for my friends a lot. And then I'll go to my church. And then it even works its way out to my town and my state and my nation. And then I go to the whole world. But at the top of my list is me. I think you guys aren't looking at me like, oh yeah, Josh is awful. I think that would be a lot of us if we were being honest. I said I was going to ask a personal question. I'm telling you something personal about myself. The very top of my prayer list is usually me. We tend to be very me-focused. We live in a man-centered world. And I think today, even more than ever, we have men-centered or man-centered churches where prayer has become all about what we can get from God, how we can get answers. On my shelf in my office, there's a book, How to Get Answers, How to Have Effective Prayers, How to Get Answers from God. It's all about what I can get from God. Give me what I want. You got charismatics and Pentecostals that are go to prayer and demand things from God, naming it and claiming it and saying, God, you have to give me this. It's very me-centered. But as we turn to this prayer, he flips that, and he doesn't start with a me-focused prayer. He starts with, and you've got to get this, because this is where we got to start. The way Jesus teaches us to start our prayers isn't me-focused. It's not even others-focused. It's God-focused. At the top of our priority list in prayer ought to be God. Not what I want. Let me say it this way. Not my requests. Not your requests. We need to start praying at the very top of our prayer list, God's requests. What would God's prayer list look like? And we have it here in these verses. The very first thing isn't me, it's Him. The first request out of our mouth ought to be the three thys. You have it right there in verse 9 and 10. Our Father which art in heaven. And he starts out, and it's not me. You'll see that next week when we get into verse 11 where it's give us and forgive us and as we forgive our debtors and lead us. So he gets into us. But at the very start, it's thy. Thy name, thy kingdom, and thy will. He starts out with the three thys. He's telling us here that our top priority in prayer ought to be what God wants, not what I want. A.W. Pink said, self and all its needs must be given a secondary place when we pray. When we come to God, we forget ourselves and we focus on God. So let's look at it tonight. I'm just going to give you the very easy three thys here. I want to show you the first request. I want to show you the top priority. I want to show you maybe the most important request in prayer. I mean, this is important. If we can get this right, everything else falls into place. So let's look at tonight the top priority in prayer. And again, 3 points, three thys. These are three requests. You just ask God, what do you want us to pray about? He'd say, here's the top request. If I had my prayer list out, and you guys can look at your prayer list, and I try to make sure it's in the right order, and we're praying for things and prioritizing and unbelievers and missionaries in our requests, I think I need to add at the top of that list, what does God want? So tonight, I want to show you the top priority. I could title the sermon tonight, God's Prayer List. Number one on God's prayer list is a prayer for God's worship. Is a prayer for God's worship. You see that in verse 9 at the very end. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. And he starts with, hallowed be thy name. You've probably heard hallowed 1,000 times. You've probably said hallowed 1,000 times. But you've probably only said it in praying this prayer. We rarely ever use the word hallowed anywhere else other than the Lord's Prayer. We don't know, usually most of us don't know what it means. We don't use the word. The word was coined by John Wycliffe in the 1300s when he began to translate it from the into the English. And then when Tyndale came around in the 1500s to do it again, he kept that word hallowed in there. So we have to ask, what does it mean to have God's name hallowed? There was one commentator that said, Father brings us close to God, and hallowed says not too close. And there's a proper balance there. So that there's not so much, and you hear people say that God is Father. Yes, He is. And we get to go to Him. But let's also remember that God is hallowed. Let's keep a good balance there. This word hallowed means that He is, and the word is sanctified. He is separate from us. That's what it means. He's different. He's holy. He's other. He's not like us. And we need to remember that every time we pray. That God is not like us. He is an other God. He is other than we are. There's none like Him anywhere else in the entire world. Everything and everybody else is in one category. And then you have the thrice holy God in a category all by Himself. Hallowed be His name. This would be the transcendence of God, the majesty of God, the holiness of God. It's to respect God. And when we come to God, we know who He is. We honor Him. And yes, we worship Him with "Hallowed be Thy name." But remember, this isn't just saying, "God, You are hallowed." He is. The angels say it in heaven now. You can even say it this way. The angels throughout all eternity cry, "Hallowed, hallowed, hallowed. Holy, holy, holy." We know that that's going on. You turn to Revelation 4. Holiness, otherness, amazement at God in heaven. But it says here, "Hallowed be thy name," which is a request. Now get this. It's, "May your name be hallowed." That's the request. The top of God's prayer list is that His name be honored. The name there would be the entirety of who God is, His nature, His essence, His character, His attributes. Our request is, "May your name," we'll say it this way, "may all that God is be honored. May all that God is be treated as holy. May all that God is be respected and treated as He deserves." Our prayer is that God would get the honor that He deserves everywhere. Amen. That's the very start of our prayers. Amen. That God gets what He deserves. Is this a concern in any of our prayers? When we go to God in prayer, is on our heart, and I'm going to say it this way, it ought to be the concern, but my question for us here tonight, is it even a concern? That, "God, I want your name, who You are, to be honored, respected, treated as You deserve, everywhere in every way." Is that a concern in your prayers? That God will be honored. You say, how can that be answered? Oh, it's so simple. See, I don't want to just tell you to pray this way. I want to show you how, because we're asking God for this. May your name be hallowed. May your name be honored. May you be respected in every way. So how can that be answered? Let me give you five ways that request can be answered. It can be answered in how we speak. May every word that I say honor God in the way He deserves. Amen. The third command is that we keep His name holy. The third command is that we don't take His name in vain. And every time we hear His name taken in vain, it ought to hurt us because we just prayed that in our lips He be honored. Yeah. This prayer can be answered in how we worship. And I don't have time to get into this, but there are churches, when you walk in, their worship does not honor God for who He is. Ask Nadab and Abihu how they dishonored God in worship and the punishment they got. And you watch churches today and how they dishonor God. But when we come to church, we want to make sure that our worship honors God in the way that He deserves. You wake up on Sunday morning and your prayer ought to be, "May God be hallowed in our church services today. May His name get the respect that He deserves." How we think of Him, number three. So how we speak, how we worship, how we think. Our minds ought to be filled with large thoughts of God. Do you understand that we can worship God just with our minds? And the higher we think of God, the higher we see God and understand God, the higher our worship goes. May He be honored in the way we even think about God. As I go through my day, I need to say, "God, may Your name be hallowed in the way that I think about You today." Amen. How we speak, how we worship, how we think, how we live. The Bible says that we ought to give glory to God in whatever we eat or whatever we drink and everything that we do. See, we're praying this at the start of the day. Hallowed be, may Your name be hallowed today. Every word, every thought, every deed, everything that I do, may God get the honor that He deserves. Is that a concern of ours in prayer? It's the top of this prayer. Lastly, how we speak, how we worship, how we think, how we live, but also how we suffer and go through trials. There you go. When things happen bad to us, when the tests don't come back good, when everything isn't wonderful, when death comes knocking at our door, when a teenager dies before we think it should happen. We want to honor God in the good days, but God, may your name be hallowed and honored and respected even in my lowest points of life. In every way, may God's name be honored in our lives. That ought to be the very top concern in our heart when we start out in prayer. And I'm ashamed that that's not been. It's usually, may Josh get his way, instead of may God's name be honored. Second, if the first one is a prayer for God's worship, second would be a prayer for God's work. Because it goes into the very next verse. After which, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, we get another thy. And this time it's thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom, which would be God's kingdom, we desire his kingdom, his we will say this, his work to be done. His kingdom to be built instead of another kingdom. So there's two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms at odds with one another, fighting one another, at war, with a cosmic war in our world today. And I believe there is, that God has a kingdom in our world. That he is the sovereign God of the universe, enthroned on high, King of kings and Lord of lords, seated on the throne right now. He doesn't have to wait to come back to rule. He rules right now. Amen. But then there's Satan, the prince of the power of the air, who has all of his puppet leaders and all of his nations doing his will. Psalm 2 says, throwing their fists up at God, Satan has a kingdom that opposes God's kingdom. At war with one another. A kingdom of darkness versus a kingdom of light. It's a war. For minds, for thoughts and opinions and values and ideas. And you better believe Satan pushes his agenda. And you better believe Satan pushes his mindset and he pushes his worldview. It's a war. It's a tug of war for our hearts. So we wake up every morning in this tug of war and say, may God's kingdom come. Amen. May his kingdom rule. Our prayer is that his kingdom would reign. We want his kingdom to rule and reign here and now. So we pray for the advancement of his kingdom instead of the advancement of Satan's kingdom. I read a quote by a Puritan this week, and just a quick quote. He said, oh, the joy to see thee reigning. To see his work done. So you say, what does this mean? How many do you think I got on this one? I've got 6 on this one. I almost made 3 sermons out of this, but I wanted it all in one. When we wake up and we say, thy kingdom come, we want God to rule in our own hearts personally. It has to start there. It has to begin there. When you wake up and you say, thy kingdom come, it means one soul at a time. It means my soul. It means one victory at a time in me. We can't change the world until my heart is changed. It has to start in me. It has to be me every morning bowing my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he reigns in my heart, as Spurgeon would say, that Christ would reign in the castle of my heart. It starts there. Pray for it every morning. When you wake up, may your kingdom rule and reign in my heart. It starts there. And then it's going to work its way out. Ruling and reigning in my heart. And you need to pray it this way. May Christ rule, his kingdom reign. May I be in submission in my heart. And then in circles, may it then be in my home. Because as a father and mother, let Christ rule in their hearts, or he rules over their hearts. Then the whole family begins to, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hearts of dads, the hearts of moms, the hearts of kids. Christ rules the home. That's 2 good ones there. When you pray that, pray, God, let Christ rule in my heart. And then let Christ rule in my home. And then let Christ rule in our churches. You see how it's working out? Those are 3 places that really I can control. I want to make sure he's ruling here. I'm bowing the knee here. And then in my home with my wife and my kids, that we're all submitting to his lordship and doing exactly what he says. And what he says is what we believe. What he tells us to do is what we do. His opinions are my opinions, and his thoughts are my thoughts, and his ways are my ways. And we're submitting in the home, but we also want to submit in the church. Amen. Now he reigns here. That we submit to Him here. I love that. It ought to be, if you're doing this every day, get this, this is so good. If you're doing it every day, and your family's doing it every day, then when you walk into this church, and I'm going to go around the room, if you are, then your heart is, and your heart is, and your heart is, and your heart is, and your heart, and your heart. I don't think I'm going to pull a Johnny. And your heart, and your heart, and your heart, 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 all y'all. And all the hearts downstairs. And all the hearts that aren't here tonight. And if all those hearts are waking up every day and they're saying, I'm submitting myself and my home to the Lordship of Christ, then when you get in here, all our hearts knitted together are submitting to the Lordship of Christ. May His kingdom reign here. There's a lot of churches today that can't say that because there's a lot of hearts in churches that aren't submitting to Christ. I get it that in every church there's going to be wheat and tares. You want more wheat than you want tares, because the more wheat you have and the less tares you have, the more lordship and submission you have to His lordship in the church. Now watch this. This is then it goes to the county. The more churches you have like that, the more impact it will have on your county. Heart after heart, family after family changed. People begin to live. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but the people in your county begin to live righteousness and peace and joy, advancing and growing one heart at a time, where it changes even the culture of your county. You guys know what's next. If you can start changing county by county, you're going to start to affect the nation that you live in. This is not about a political party. One party uses us and the other party hates us. This ain't about political parties. This ain't about a Republican debate that's going to go on in a couple hours. This is about the gospel taking root in the hearts of people around this nation and people beginning to submit themselves to the lordship of Christ, even praying for our political leaders that kings will bow the knee to Christ and make godly laws in our nation. Amen. We pray for that. We want that. We want Christ to rule in their hearts, not by politics, not by changing the politics of the nation, but by changing the hearts of the nation by the power of the gospel. We want that. We desire that. Every time we pray, Thy kingdom come. I like that. It's not about me building my kingdom. It's about us advancing His kingdom. One heart at a time by the power of the gospel. I'll give you number 6. Because I hope you understand that we won't see Christ's kingdom reign in its fullest here and now. So when we pray for this, we want the ultimate when Christ returns. We desire, because this world will never be like we want it to be. So we desire for the ultimate fulfillment of this when Jesus returns physically, visibly, suddenly, and gloriously, and He begins in this world to rule and reign, and everything's exactly as it should be. When we read Revelation, we say, all the tears we wiped away, and there'll be no more hurting, and no more sorrow, and no more death. And we see how Christ will rule and reign in this world. You have to, at the start of your prayers, say, if it ain't going to happen here, I long for it to happen in the end. Pray for it. Work for it. Prioritize it. At the start of your prayers for the work of Christ and the advancement of His gospel, heart by heart. You say, what's God's priority in prayer? His worship, His work. And lastly, you guys already know the W I'm going to use on this one. 3 W's. Go Dubs. Right, Gracie? I mean, look at it. Worship, work. You guys will never forget because I just said that. Worship, work, and His will. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I tell you, when I pray, I have a whole lot, you guys do too, I have a whole lot of wants. I have a whole lot of desires. I have plans. I am Mr. Agenda. My family knows it. My kids know it. Daddy always has a plan. He has all these things lined out the way he wants it to go. I go on trips. We drive all the way to St. Augustine. And I've got everything planned down to every single detail of every, only one Bucky stop. That's it. And then my family throws that at me. We're going to go to another one. It throws everything off. I have a plan. I have an agenda. I have a will. I have the way I think things ought to go. And that doesn't just go on vacation. It goes for how I want things to go here, my plan for sermons and the way ministries ought to go and the way events ought to go and the way my kids ought to do things and all these things just laid out perfectly because my plan is better than anybody else's plan. We all have that. Maybe not as detailed as I do, but you need to understand this. I have a plan. And God has a plan. And when you pray, you got to figure out which one you really want. You with me? Yeah. You got to figure out. And I'll even say this. In my plan, I think Satan has a plan for my life. I think people around me have a plan for me. You know, there's a lot of peer pressure. Wanting you to pull you in their direction. So there's all kinds of plans over here. My plan. And then there's God's plan. And God has a plan that is big picture from before the foundation of the world all the way to the end. I have no doubt that my God is a planning God. That He doesn't do things haphazardly. He doesn't just throw the world together. He didn't get up one morning and say, day one, you know. And then like, I wonder what I'm going to do day two. Should I do animals, people? What should I do? Then day three, let's figure this thing out. Our God is a planning God, a God of intricate detail.
Yes, amen.
Knows the names of the stars and the amount of hairs on everybody's head.
Yeah.
God has a plan, a big eternal plan that's over all. But He also has an everyday plan. How everything ought to be done every single day. The big things and the small things. The big picture and the small picture. So the question is, I have a plan, He has a plan. Which one do you want? Whose will do you want? Which one do we choose every single day? Do you want to be Frank Sinatra? What do they call him, Old Blue Eyes? You know, it's the most played song in funerals in America. I did it my way. Frank Sinatra's way is the wrong way. Your way is the wrong way. We have to wake up every single morning and say, I don't want my way.
Amen.
I don't want the other ways that everybody's trying to pull me in. I'm going to totally reject all other ways. And all I want is His way. We choose His way every morning when we pray this. Over every other plan that I have in life. Understand, we'll ask for our way. I have no problem doing that. I'll ask for the way I want it done. I'll ask for my stuff. We'll request for our things. We'll never demand our things. And that's why I think Pentecostals are so wrong in naming it and claiming it and demanding things from God that He has to do these things. That's not how God works. That's not prayer. We don't demand our way. We ask for our way. We do it every time we pray. God, will you? God, will you? God, will you? We beg with tears in our eyes. But ultimately, we say at the end of the prayer, not my will, but thy will be done. Couldn't tell you many times. I sit at a hospital bed and I said, God, I know you can heal this person. But not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
We submit to His will. We align with His will. I've got four on this one too. Just get this. We submit to his will. That means we bow the knee and say, God, whatever you want.
Yes.
We align with his will. Because prayer is not, this may be the most profound thing I say tonight, prayer is not bending God's will to my desires.
Amen.
Prayer is bending my will to fit God's will. So we submit to his will. We align with his will. We trust his will even when it doesn't make sense. And even if we don't like it. That's the hardest part. I was going to write in here, we submit to it without any grumbling or complaining. But I couldn't put that in there. Because sometimes I don't like it. And I'll tell you what I do. I got to trust it. That his will is better for my life than my will is. That he has a big picture plan. And in the big picture, he sees things and understands things and has ordered things better than I could ever understand. And I may not like it, and I may grumble, and I may complain. But at the end of the day, I've got to trust that his will is better than mine. To the point where you can even say, and this is the last one, I want his will. Because I know it's best for me. And what school we attend, and who we marry. How many times have you seen young couples break up? And one or the other or both just destroyed by it. That was my plan, to marry that person and be with them the rest of my life and have a family. And they're mad that this didn't work out. But then just a few years down the road, they see, oh, wait, that wasn't right. This is. God knew what he was doing the whole time.
Yeah.
And what job we have in our successes and in our failures. I told my kids, they get so frustrated when they lose. They're competitive just like I am. But I think we learn more from our losses and our pain than we do from our successes. God has a plan. In our comforts and in our trials, in our life, and even in our death. Not my will, but thy will be done. John Newton, the hymn writer of Amazing Grace, said this, and I'll close. On his deathbed, John Newton, his dying words was, what thou want, when thou want, and how thou want. And on his dying bed, submitted himself to the will of God.
Amen.
So do you see the top priority in prayer? That we need to move when we pray, God, maybe for some of us, and me a lot of the times, we don't just need to move God into our prayer list where we're praying for what he wants, you know, his name, his kingdom, his will. But we need to move God not only into our prayer list, but we need to move him to the top of our prayer list. And when we do that, when we pray his request for his name, for his kingdom, for his will, when we put God at the top of our list, then we can move to the personal requests. God first, even in our prayers. Because it's after the three thys that we move to the three R's. You see it for next week. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You say, what's that? Once we get God at the top, then we can move into what we need every single day. I can't wait to get into it next week because I'm going to start preaching it right now. I can't wait to get there because this makes it to where we're not so worried about what's happening tomorrow, or 5 days from now, or a year from now. I've got three things that happen every single day. Look at it, just bear with me. Act like you didn't hear it next week. I need to eat every day. I'm going to need to forgive every day. And I'm going to be tempted every day. So every single day, I've got to ask for these three things. So he's saying, keep your focus here. And it's just outlining our prayers perfectly, where at the top is God, and then it's us. Whatever we need, and again, it doesn't have to be just these things, whatever we need today, right now, in this moment, it solves a whole lot of worries when we're focused right now.
Amen.
Let me eat today. Let me forgive today. Keep me from temptation today. But before we can get to that, we've got to put God first even in our prayers. I'm going to start doing it every single morning. As I got up this morning, I said the very first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, Hallowed be thy name. May your name be honored in my life today. May your work be done. I've got to make sure that I'm working to advance your kingdom today. And I want your will, not mine today. And then I can move to me. But not until we put God first. That's the top priority in our prayer lives. Let's pray. Father, as we started, teach us to pray. This is what my heart's desire. I don't think I pray like I should, as much as I should, how I should. I think I failed in prayer. And God, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to learn. And God, this is teaching me. And I didn't do it tonight, but I could have went from Genesis all the way to Revelation and showed this is how God's people pray. This is how the apostles prayed. The disciples prayed then this way. Go to Acts and watch them pray. As Paul opens his letters and see what he says and how he prays, he puts God first. He and the disciples were putting into practice what you taught right here. So God, I pray that as you teach us, we can put it into practice. And that we can pray the Jesus way. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.